hot because we are literally knocking on the door of Thanksgiving coming up. This series that we have been in, Be Thankful. How many of you guys have enjoyed the series that we've been going through? I've really enjoyed just what the Lord has been even speaking to myself. But very quickly, just last week we talked a little bit about be thankful. It is not always easy. Some of the thoughts that came out of this message was when God does come through, make sure you thank him. That when the struggle is real, be in his house. When life is not always easy, it reminds us that we still need Jesus. Can you give me an amen for that one? So guys, I just believe if you're here today, God has you here for a reason. So I would just ask you just to be open, be transparent to him, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. And I'm believing that the Lord today will reveal himself in a deeper way, just that as we go into Thanksgiving, that we truly can be thankful for who he is in our lives. So today I'd like to talk to you about briefly about be thankful God is up to something. Be thankful that God is up to something. I don't know if you guys can really remember or look back when God, the very first time he did something big in your life. I was talking a little bit this morning with the church, and I remember, you know, of course, giving my heart to Jesus, and then at the age of 12, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then I went on this, I don't know what was going on in my life, but I really struggled with faith, but when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, although that's an unbelievable thing, for some reason, to me, it wasn't a big deal because I was raised in the Assemblies of God Church, and it just seemed like everybody got filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? That's how it was. But between my junior and senior year, I had gone to a church camp for high schoolers. There was about 500 teenagers there because it was a statewide camp from the entire state of Arkansas. And you have teams, you have events and competitions and stuff, but I had made the all-star basketball deal. And so we were having our all-star game. It was the last day of camp, and I busted my left ankle really bad. I'd never twisted my ankle or anything, and they took me to a hospital. They cut my sock off, and as soon as my foot came out of the sock, the lady counselor that took me to the emergency room, she just starts crying because of how bad it looked. And I remember looking down at my ankle, and the first thought in my head is of course it hurts, but I have a basketball camp I'm supposed to be at in a week at University of Central Arkansas, and I guess I'm not going to be able to go. So I'm looking at my ankle. The doctor comes in. He goes, son, he goes, I hate to tell you this. He goes, but it looks like you've broke your ankle. It's going to be an 8 to 12 week recovery. I can't put you in a cast. It's too swollen. I'm going to put you in a soft cast, and then I'm going to send you back. And when you get back to see your doctor, they'll put you in a cast after the swelling goes down. He goes, and I recommend that they x-ray it again. I said, yes, sir. And so we go back. I get out of the car at the campground, and one of the counselors, male counselors, comes out and says, Matt, what'd they say? I said, well, it looks like I fractured my ankle. And he goes, well, we're going to be praying for it. And he started to turn to go back in. I said, pray that I get healed. And he goes, amen, brother. I'll never forget it. I mean, he went down, he pointed at me. And so I go, and they put a chair in the shower place for me so I could sit and take a shower. I'm moping, I'm sulking, I can't believe it's happened. I go into the meeting, and they've already had worship, and so the pastor or the guest speaker is there speaking, and he's probably into it about 10 minutes. And he closes his word, and he goes, you know what, you guys? I've given you what the Lord has asked me to give you, so I think what you need to do now is you need to come forward and let God now have his time with you. He says, so if you need something from the Lord, I want you to get up and I want you to come down. So hundreds of us are going down. I'm crutching down. I get down to the front seat. I kneel down. And guys, I start praying. Now listen to what I'm about to tell you. I didn't pray for hours. I didn't pray for 30 minutes. Within the first 10 minutes of my prayer time of asking God to heal my ankle, I felt something change in my foot. And I remember the Holy Spirit telling me, just turn your ankle a little bit. Turn it. And I started doing my ankle. I was doing it in circles and stuff, and I didn't feel any pain. Holy Spirit says, no, I really mean like turn it. So I start turning my ankle really hard. And all of a sudden, I realize that soft cast now has become loose around my ankle. And then I just feel the Lord go, stand up and show him, tell and let them see what I have done for you. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I was sitting there and I go, God, please let this be real. Please. I don't want to stand up and it still hurt, you know. And so I stand up and the soft cast falls down like a tube sock. You know what I'm saying? It just went down around my ankle. And all of a sudden, guys, I find myself, I am running around this auditorium filled with 500 people just shouting praises to the Lord because he had healed my ankle. And you know what the enemy, will come in and say, well, you really hadn't hurt it that bad. Well, you know what God did? He healed my ankle. The swelling was completely gone. But when I would pull up my pants to show people, you would see the blood that had gone under my foot and that had gone all the way up the side of my calf. Just to remind people, there was an injury here, but there is a healing. I went to that camp, competed in a dunk contest, got second after breaking my ankle from a doctor's report, but God healed me, amen? He showed up big. Something changed inside of me then. When somebody talks to you about it, you serve a healing God, it doesn't matter, like, say, man, I pray for that. Why didn't this happen? I can always look back and know that God healed me that day, and I knew that he did, amen? I think about when I moved to Texas, how God showed up. I was a senior in high school. I just had started. I'd gone to school for two weeks in my senior year, and my dad gets this major promotion, and we have to move to Arlington, Texas. You know, I get on a team, I'm playing basketball, everything's kind of going good and everything, but spiritually, my life was falling apart. We started attending this church called Bethel Temple in Fort Worth, Texas. John Wilkerson was the pastor, was Lori's dad. And I started thinking about how big God showed up in my life, because when I did finally give my heart to Jesus, guys, I started thinking about how I began to be discipled, how all of a sudden I'm going on missions. I have a calling on my life. Lori was blessed with me in her life, you know? Come on, you guys, look at this. Look at this, in 1985, look at us, man. Come on, man. She just chased me everywhere. I'm kidding. I was blessed. I was blessed to have Lori in my life, amen? It's when we look back sometimes, not on how bad we were, but how God showed up and seeing how involved he is in everything. He was doing something all along. It's discovering this truth for ourselves. We might not realize it, but God is doing something right now. Give me an amen. Come on. Guys, listen, I don't know if you realize this. Just recently, we eclipsed 8 billion people on planet Earth. That, it's hard to imagine that. 8 billion people on planet Earth. And if you don't realize this either, I'm going to ask this. Don't raise your hand. How many of you guys consider yourselves rich? And I don't mean rich in love and rich in grandkids and rich in hugs and stuff like that. I'm talking about that on paper, you consider yourself rich. Well, here's the thing is, I don't know if you know this, but if you own a car or you have been given a car, or you have the ability to rent a car and you have a car in your driveway right now, you are in the top 5 to 8% richest people in the world. I didn't ask what model, how old it is, if you have a car. If you can go with somebody to a restaurant, two of you, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, friends, whatever, you go and you spend over $25 on that meal. Now remember, you go to this restaurant and it's really cool. These people come and they take your order, and then they go away, and they take your order to the back, and they start preparing your food for you. And then they come and they bring you bread and chips and salsa while you wait and give you your drinks. And then finally they bring their food to you, and you get to sit there and eat. And while you're eating, they're refilling your drinks. They're making sure you're happy. And when you get done, they actually come and take your plates, and they go and they wash them for you, and all you got to do is get up and leave. If you do this and you spend over $25, you are in the top 5 to 8% richest people in the world. We are incredibly blessed, and sometimes we forget about it. We just don't realize it. We are so blessed that God, that Jesus himself, he actually cares about our lives. That God isn't sitting by idle. That God is doing something right now. Everybody say right now. There have been those days where I have sensed God's hands in remarkable ways. He's moved and things just start shifting. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? God's moving and you know it. And there's things just in your life, they're shifting. Things are changing. You can tell it is. But guys, there's also been those days where it feels routine. It feels habitual. There's no apparent divine appointments. It doesn't seem like anything is pressing or spiritually is going on. But the Bible that I read, the Bible that we have, the Bibles that we have on our phones, the scriptures that are going to come up here, the Bible that I read paints the picture that my God is always at work. Can I get an amen? John 5:17, look at this. Jesus says, he answered them, my Father has been working until now. He has never ceased working, and I too am working. Romans 8:28 says, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together. Listen to this. As a plan for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose. We just talked about this last week. That our faith is, these are the things that we pray for. These are the things that we hope for, that there is a calling, that there is a plan and a purpose. And right here in scripture, it says it's there. And that he is actively involved. We hope for this. We believe this. There's something that is keeping us, you know, we want to do this. But sometimes there's these things that just keeps us from kind of missing it. Like we can't be attentive to it. And one of the things that I think about is in this life, and I think we're all, as we've been going through some of these series, like when we did Jesus Gets Us this summer, and we talked about some of these things, we understand that life doesn't slow down. And sometimes it's crazy. It's so crazy that sometimes it deafens us to what God is trying to say. We have technology, phones and our computers and our iPads, the things that we have access to, and it overstimulates us. And I'm not talking about just pornography. I'm talking about we can get on our phones. We go, man, I want my sports updates. I want my weather updates. I want to see how he's doing, how she's doing. I want to block somebody. You know, I want to order food. I want to shop. I want to stay up till two and get on Instagram and watch reels. How many of you guys have ever gotten trapped on a reels trail? Here, guys, check this out. This is what I'm talking about. This is what it'll capture you.
So us teachers would never ask you students to do anything we wouldn't do ourselves.
Holy crap! What is happening? I didn't know you were... She's...
Oh my God!
Did we just record that?
Did you... What?
Okay, sorry. Oh, yes.
All right, so come on. This, that stuff, it'll trap you, man. Next thing you know, you've been on there for an hour and a half. But guys, also, if we want to get a little serious about this, it's hard to be serious about that after that, but you know, sin, here's the thing about sin, and I think we can all agree on this. Sin is fun. I'm sorry, it is. It starts out that way. We find things that it's different. It becomes fun, but what we realize though, it's for a season, and all of a sudden now, if we stay in it, it's tearing our families apart. It's trapped our hearts. Things that we used to consider wrong, now we don't consider it necessarily that bad. We lose our bearings, and as a result, we can't hear the Christ who turned water into wine. Let me say this again. Listen to what I'm saying. That when we become kind of deaf to what's going on, or we become oblivious, all of a sudden we're not resting on the one or listening to the one who turns water into wine. This is the Lord that we serve. This is the God that we serve. Because our God is always, church, I want you to capture this. Our God is always up to something. I want somebody to receive this morning, that my God is always up to something, and it's big. Come on. It's always big. Guys, look at this. It's going to come up for you. Nobody can force a God moment to happen, but we sure can make ourselves available. Come on. I'm not trying to manufacture, man-made manufacture Holy Spirit moments. I just want to know that when God does show up and when the Holy Spirit does start moving, that I have made myself available to what he wants to do. So there's this story in Acts. I'm going to set this up for you best I can. What we read in Acts is that Jesus has died on the cross for our sins. He's raised on the third day. He makes himself known to the disciples and to the people in Israel and Jerusalem throughout the land. And he eventually ascends into heaven. And as he goes, he sends a gift. He gives a gift back, and it's his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit comes in to the upper room. We've read this story many times where the disciples and those that were there and waiting were filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Acts, as it goes on, you start seeing the disciples doing disciple things. And God is moving and exploding all over the place. And here we are in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Philip is in Samaria. He's seeing and doing things he hasn't ever done before. He's seeing people getting saved. He's seeing people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. He's seeing people getting baptized. He's seeing demons getting cast. He's just slapping demons left and right. You know what I mean? It's just going on. And guys, look at this right here. Then the Lord's angel said to Philip, now go south from Jerusalem on the desert road to Gaza. It says that he left immediately on his assignment, and along the way he encountered an Ethiopian who believed in the God of the Jews. Now this is not just your normal Ethiopian. He is an Ethiopian eunuch. He is the minister of finances to the queen of Ethiopia. He has just left the temple in Jerusalem. Okay, and he's been worshiping there, and now he's coming back, he's going back to his country, and he's reading the book of Isaiah. He's got the scrolls out, he's reading it. So here's the thing that we see, is that now the Holy Spirit shows up again. So the Lord's angel said, go, he goes, he's waiting, here comes the chariot. Now the Holy Spirit says, get up and go after this guy. And so Philip runs up along the chariot, he says, hey, do you know what you're reading? He goes, how can I, unless somebody tells me. And so he jumps into the chariot. And he's taking him through the scripture. The minister of finances has invited Philip to come in. And they're reading Isaiah where it's the foretelling of Jesus. So let's get back into the scripture. Verse 34. The Ethiopian asked Philip, please, can you tell me who the prophet is speaking of? Is it himself or another man? And Philip started with this passage and shared with him and everybody read this together, read it. The wonderful message of Jesus. Are you thankful for the message of Jesus this morning? Amen. And here he is, and he's sharing this wonderful message of Jesus. Philip's day started out in Samaria, and God was showing up huge. But God was still doing something, and it was something new he wanted to do through Philip. God had something more. Everybody say more. He has something more for him. God has set up a divine appointment for Philip to keep. And I am so thankful this morning that God has a plan for your life and mine. I am so thankful that he is interested in the details of our lives, that he is actually up to something. In fact, he's doing something right now. Everybody say right now. Right now. And not only does he have a specific purpose for every one of us, he is actively involved in seeing you and I complete it. Look at this in John 6:24. Read this right here. Look at this. It says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. Now, I have that capitalized because in the Greek, that's helko autos. And what that is speaking to, it's a drawing of him. Look what it says. Him, or it's her, or it's you, it's us, it's them. It's whenever there is a drawing, and it's an inward power, something that draws us so much that it's making us want to do something, something so strong. And it's something that we can't fully explain. Have you ever tried to explain to someone how much you love Jesus? Have you ever tried to explain to somebody, you know, what he's done for you? And you can do your best, but we never can quite explain it the way we really feel. But it's for every person to be experienced, to experience that same thing where they understand that God has done something so great that they can't even hardly explain it. Helco altas. When God is doing something powerful, he's moving, he's directing, and you know it's him. The truth is that God is working and he is always working in people's lives. He is never not doing nothing. Guys, look at your neighbor and say, he is never not doing nothing. That's without the G, nothing, okay? Philippians 1:6 says, I am certain that God who began a good work within you will continue his work until, what does it say? Finally finished, till it's done. Psalms 123:3-8 says, he won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep, not on your life. God is your guardian, right at your side to protect you, shielding you, sheltering you. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. Isn't that a great translation? So I want to give you three thoughts, and here's the first one right here. The first one is when your calling becomes inconvenient, you know God is up to something. Sometimes it's the things that cause us inconvenience that actually launches us into the purpose for our lives. Remember, we just read in Acts chapter 8, we're talking about Philip. You guys, let's look at the scripture again. It says, that then the Lord's angel said to Philip, now go south from Jerusalem on the desert road to Gaza. You see, again, Philip is seeing moves of God in Samaria that really he's never truly experienced. And the angel of the Lord shows up and tells him to basically head toward Gaza. Now we read that, and it doesn't seem like a big deal, but you guys check out this map right here. Samaria is right up there, and to get down to that desert road down there by Gaza, that's 100 miles. Guys, he doesn't have a donkey. There's no donkey. There's no chariot. He doesn't have another disciple giving him piggyback. You know what I mean? So he's doing 100 miles. And this is when it becomes inconvenient to where, what if he said, like, seriously, like God, but if I leave, you know, what are they going to do without me? Come on. What are they going to do? God, you're asking way too much. You're asking way too much of me. Listen, it's a 100-mile trip. Because it was inconvenient, this is what I want you to capture. Because it was inconvenient, because it was 100 miles, that it could only have been God. It was his purpose. He knew what was about to happen to Philip. God used a very inconvenient ask to bring a powerful encounter. In the inconvenience, Philip was launched into deeper waters. Are you willing to fight for what God has? Are you willing to sweat it out for whatever God has for you? Are you willing to say yes to God and face your haters? What if it requires a ton of effort and nothing about it is convenient for you? Are you still willing to follow God's calling on your life? I may not have it at this moment, but God is up to something. I might not look like it now, but God is up to something. I don't even know where it is, but I know God is up to something. I might look like a fool, but I know my God is up to something. Uh-oh, it just got inconvenient. God is up to something. Amen? Always doing something. Always doing something new. Always doing something in your life. And here's my second thought. When you find yourself praying bigger prayers, you know God is up to something. I talked a little bit last week about some of the prayers Lori and I have been doing for 11 years, but I want to encourage you, church, pray big. Pray bigger. If you're only praying for health and safety, praying for your food once or twice a day, and guys, those are all important. I'm not trying to downplay it. But I'm just saying there are some deeper prayers that you and I need to be getting on our knees for. Amen. And God is encouraging us. The scriptures are encouraging us to pray big. In James chapter 5, I would ask you, listen, if you're looking for a devotional as you're going toward Thanksgiving, get in there and just read James chapter 5. And starting at verse 13, doesn't matter what translation you read, there's going to be a heading above there. Some of them say prayer of faith or power of prayer or a prayer to be reckoned with. But what's going on is James is setting us up to understand you don't have to be so-and-so. You don't have to be up here. You don't have to be this dressed. You don't have to. Listen, guys, look at how it says. Elijah, let read this, was a man with human frailties, just like all of us, but he prayed and received supernatural answers. Other translations say that he prayed hard, or he prayed fervently, or he prayed earnestly. But what we want to capture here is it's just saying Elijah was a man. It could be Mary up there. Mary was a woman, but she prayed these earnest prayers. And what happens is when you do it, then you get supernatural answers. I can't tell you how many times I would walk downstairs from 2011 and even till now, and my wife would be downstairs praying, crying out to God, writing in her journal, reading her word, but it was the prayers that I would hear. And I knew that she was praying something more than for safety and health or praying for our food for the day. She was going to God with big things. She was reaching out for big answers. Guys, see, here's the thing is, God doesn't just have a plan that gets us through to tomorrow. It's decades. It's hundreds of years. He has a plan for your life that is eternal. Come on, give me an amen. That's where he looks. I don't know who this is for, but God is just waiting on you to start asking big and to start praying big prayers. And I feel like, you know, sometimes you can sit there and you say, well, I feel like my faith or my prayer life is dead. I've been there. I'm not sitting here in judgment at all. I'm guaranteeing you somebody's in here this morning that you're saying that you feel like your prayer life is just dead. But I want to say this to you, and I want to proclaim this over you. That which was once dead is going to come to life. When Jesus said in John 11, 12 that I am the resurrection and the life. So this is what we serve, the resurrection and the life. So any dead homes, dead marriages, dead dreams, dead hopes, God is going to do something. He's going to bring new opportunities. He's going to bring you new appointments. He's going to give you God appointments, and he's going to give you a new vision. Friends, pray big prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. And when he answers you, make sure you thank him. Amen. Make sure you thank him. I am so thankful that my God is up to something. Can I get an amen? All right, I want to bring this to a close and have the worship team come up. Let's give them a hand. What a great set, man. Amazing. Great stuff. Here's my third and final thought right here, you guys, is that when you think about where you were and where you are now, you know God is up to something. Okay? When you think about where you were and where you are now, God has had to have been up to something. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever been like caught yourself like thinking about something and you just start laughing. Come on. I cannot tell you how many times Lori's walked in the living room and I'll be over there sitting in my chair laughing and she'll just assume that I'm laughing about something about my brother, which is mainly most of the time. But guys, here's the thing is, she catches me laughing or I'll catch her laughing. And guys, listen, TV's not on. There's no music playing. I'm not standing and dancing or shouting or anything like that, you know. I'm all by myself, but there's some type of a memory that comes up in my heart and my heart is filled with joy. And I'm laughing. You see, whenever I take the time to reflect, when I look back and I see where God has brought me to, I am filled with joy. I am filled with thanksgiving. I don't need anybody to tell me to start laughing. God showed up for me then, and I know what he has done. He's going to do it again for me, and he's going to do something new in my life. Jesus is still doing something in my life. Jesus is still doing something in your life. There's this decision that we all make where sometimes we just wake up and we just go, I don't want to live another day like this. I don't want to do another second. I want to live for him and not myself. Then belief, then faith, that stronger commitment has us following new desires. Guys, check this out. I think this is just really powerful. Faith begins at the end of ourselves and at the beginning of our belief. And really what I'm wanting you to capture out of that is that at some point all of us have to die to ourselves. At some point it's just like we just have to let go. We have to release the full control that we want to always have on our lives. And when we do, this is when it begins. Faith, belief, being able to have relationship. I think about the moves of God. I think about the moves of God in my life, the moves of God in this church, the moves of God in your lives. I was here on Saturday, 170 women here celebrating, filled with joy, feeding on a good word, and that all of them are experiencing and have had experienced something new in God. I think about that. I think about it. I think about some of these women that were down for prayer after, and God was going to do something new in their lives. And here's the thing is, when I think about moves, listen to these three moves. The first move is this. I am moved to pray. I'm moved to pray, not just pray any prayer. When I know God is moving and confirming and doing, I find myself praying bolder prayers. How about this second move? I become aware of when God is moving. I actually can recognize it. I can recognize when God is moving. And what about this third one right here? I find myself standing ready for his next move in my life. You're actually getting excited. What is God gonna do next? How is he going to top what he did for me last year? How is he going to top what he just did for me a couple weeks ago? But I'm getting excited for his next move. I am so thankful for Jesus. I am so thankful that he is doing something in and through me. Just talking about it with you reminds me how good he really is. Look at Psalms 106, 1 through 2. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Everybody say hallelujah. Say praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Everyone, thank God, for he is good and easy to please. Your tender love for us, Lord, continues forever. Who could fully describe your glorious miracles? Yahweh, who could ever praise you enough? Come on. When you feel like you have nothing left to give, God is up to something. When you feel like it can't get any better, God is up to something. When you feel like you're all alone, God is up to something. When you think that all you're doing is cleaning your house, God is up to something. You could be right in the middle of his plan, his purpose, and his calling, just like Philip, slapping demons. Everything's great, but God's got something new for your life. The storms may come and the winds may blow, but God is up to something. Can I get an amen in this place? Praise the Lord. Be thankful. Oh, wow. Be thankful. You know, there's going to be a charge that I'm going to give coming up on the, as we go through and we're marching towards celebrating the birth of Christ, that I want you to read the whole story. Chronological order. I want you to read the whole story. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just how it pieces together, telling the story of the birth of Christ. But guys, we're not there yet. We're heading toward Thanksgiving. This is our opportunity to take this week now and just think about how good God has been and to truly thank him that he has been up to something and believing that he's not done with me, he's not done with you, and that he has something else ready for you in your life. Amen? Let's all stand together. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Praise God. Praise God. This is what I want to do. I'm going to ask the worship team just to start playing, and I want us to close our eyes, and I just want us to thank the Lord. I just want you to just thank the Lord in your own way. Some of us have a lot to be thankful for. Some of us will do it quietly. Some of us are going to proclaim it out loud, but I just want us to thank the Lord. Let him know. Let him know how much you love him. Use this time. Hallelujah, Father God. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity, Lord, just to put our focus on you and to say thank you. Thank you for who you are in our lives. Jesus, we are so grateful for who you are. And Lord Jesus, we want you to know, we want you to know that we have nothing if it's not without you in our lives, Lord. You have made the difference. You are the one that brings moves, dear Lord. You are the one that tells us to stop and when to go, and we're so thankful. God, we think about where we were before you and where we are now. And it's so incredible, Jesus, to know you're not done with us. You've blessed us. You're giving us opportunities. You're going to deliver us. Some of us need to be delivered. Some of us need change to fall off, God. And praise the Lord, you're going to do it. You're already working that out. And in your precious name, Lord Jesus, we want you to know, Father God, Holy Spirit, that we are so thankful for who you are in our lives. And we give you all praise. Can we put our hands